That was it.
Ah.
So we zoomed with Stacy's mom and brother too.
I don't like Zoom. I really don't. I'd rather just talk on the phone. I find Zoom to be a clusterfuck if it has more than two people talking to one another.
Yeah, I can.
Like when you're at holiday and you're in a room full of people, there's like 100 conversations going on, but you're just focused on that one conversation. Whereas on Zoom, it's like nobody knows when to talk. It's just an awkward.
And it's hard to focus on
It's
only
so
one person.
impersonal. It's
Yeah.
so, ah, I hate it. We
But we have.
did. Yeah, I know we did one, and I'd rather not do one. I'd rather just call mom and call my brother, and I personally find that more personable than having seven windows open and everybody just looking at each other aimlessly.
Yeah.
I don't like it. But that's me. I'd rather be there.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's no
Hello.
doubt. Oh,
Good
Chris,
morning.
hi. Merry Christmas, Chris.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
That's right.
Yeah, we did the Zoom thing too with our families. I mean, yeah, it's not ideal, but at least you're able to do that. Yeah, I mean, better than nothing.
Rob, when are you gonna change that picture? It just drives me crazy.
Why? Why don't you like the pictures?
Because it. Look at your lips, man.
Huh? I see.
You can just minimize the window. You don't have to look at it.
Do you not like it because it's sideways? Is that the problem?
Well, it's
Like it
sideways and it just looks weird.
reminds you of that night where you woke up and there I was above your head.
I guess it's one of those horror things. Instead of it making me happy, it gets me scared.
Makes you scared.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been so insulted in my life.
You don't normally make me scared. I said that picture makes me scared.
Gonna see what other pictures I can find.
You only take pictures and you don't know how to rotate them on your phone or what?
It's not that way on my phone. I don't know why it's coming out that way on Skype.
Oh, that's weird. Maybe
Well,
it's your phone.
this doesn't seem to be working too well. I'm clicking the thing saying upload a photo. I click it and
Well, don't do it
nothing.
now. You'll kill our podcast, the
It's happening.
bandwidth.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to upset you any further.
Don't
But
upset me. I said it scares me.
well, that's what I meant. But I mean, I don't want to distract you during the call with my kissy face.
So did you have a good Christmas, Chris, or holiday, whatever you celebrate, the day off?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Like I said, we just did the remote Zoom thing.
All at once? How many people were in the Zoom call?
We did a couple. We did one with my family where it was just my parents, my sister and brother-in-law, and my niece, but they were all at one location because they've been, since my parents watch my niece a lot, they've been kind of in their own bubble or whatever.
See, that's different. See, I don't mind Zoom when it's like 1-to-1. I it drives me nuts when it's more than 1-to-1.
Yeah, that's what our other one was like. It was like,
Three families, four families.
I think, no, it was like six or something like that. It
Yeah,
was
ours was
your nightmare.
that's what
Yeah.
ours was. It was six and
Kara's side of the family, and that was I just kind of I zoned I zoomed I zoned out kind of that one because of it. Like you said, it was a bit too chaotic.
You can't really talk because you never know when it's your turn.
Yeah, I mean, even in person though, in those kind of larger groups, I tend to be quiet anyway, so it wasn't too much different. You know, I speak a lot more in smaller gatherings, so.
Yeah, that's what I feel. This one was weird because my brother said, let's eat together. So, I can't eat on a Zoom call.
That's
And it
yeah,
was like he
that's
was
a little
there. He
weird.
was there th eating, and his family was eating, and then my sister-in-law's family was online eating, and the rest of us were kind of just like looking at each other, watching them eat. It was just weird.
Yeah. Yeah, we just
And then I was just finding like the way to say, "Can I go now? I'll call you guys
my
later."
Yeah.
Not to be rude, but it's just like you can't talk. Like my parents were the first ones to go because I know they don't like the Zoom. They had a fun Zoom experience though. My niece was singing in like a holiday thing, right? And it was around 6 p.m. On a weekday. And it was a Zoom call, and she was going to be singing like in a play. Everybody was like 6 feet apart and stuff, but they were all singing. And my parents got an invitation and they called in, but my mom didn't think like, oh, we get to watch Zoe sing. But she didn't think that she was going to be like, her image was going to be broadcast to everybody else. So she was in her pajamas and all that stuff. Everybody else was all dressed up, and my mom didn't know how to turn off the camera. So it was like a funny thing where she was trying to, my dad was trying to hide my mom. She's like, "Manuel, hide me."
That's pretty funny,
Yeah.
older adults and technology that can result in some funny situations.
Well, at the beginning of the quarantines and stuff, there were all the things being shared on social media where like somebody literally went to the bathroom, went
Yeah,
into the bathroom, went to
went
the
poop.
bathroom, but yeah, with their Zoom calling. They just put their you brought the laptop with them, put it down on the counter or whatever, and not realize everyone can see exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, I shouldn't say older adults because there's been plenty of examples of just people of all ages doing stuff like that. It's been a mix. I know that there was that one Zoom that was going around where the woman was working and her husband or boyfriend or whatever walked in the back, walked across the background in
In
his
his underwear.
underwear.
Yeah, I
Then
remember that one.
realized what he was doing and tried to run out of the room and ran into the wall.
Oh, yes, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
For sure.
I mean, it gives you something to laugh at in this year, which is welcome.
Well, hopefully so.
But yeah,
I
Christmas Day,
remember
we just
2019. Everyone was ex couldn't wait for 2019 to end, and to get to 2020. And
Yeah,
so
they didn't
let's
know what they were waiting for, what they were asking for.
exactly. Oh my Lord.
Yeah,
But yeah.
2020 is a bad year. It started off bad because my nephew died on New Year's. So, like, it's gonna be a hard time for my family because. Because New Year's is coming up, and it's bad enough during the holidays, but yeah, it's not. 2020 sucked from beginning before even COVID started. Like, it just was a bad year. I mean, there's some good things. There's always good things to look at. Like, I can't think of a lot, but
Offhand, I can't think of one, but there must be something.
yeah, I discovered some more podcasts I like listening to. Because of COVID, it made me drop some other poor ca podcasts because their format changed. So it's like I listen to more podcasts now. I go for more walks.
That's good.
I don't know. I like the online shopping sometimes because I don't like to always go shopping. So having it delivered is pretty nice. But at the same time, I like to go to the toy section and play around at Target, see what's there.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Chris, were you
Yeah.
going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, we did most of our Zooms on Christmas Eve, and so Christmas Day, like, I mean, we made a nice dinner, just the two of us, and watched Wonder Woman, and so it was pretty low key, but well, I didn't mind it too much.
No, I mean, ours was, people came over. That was, but by 2 o'clock, I think 2 o'clock, that was all over with, and we just kind of chilled for the rest of the day. And we actually got Chinese food dinner.
Oh, like
The Christmas Story.
yeah.
We started doing that probably, God, about at least 10 years ago now. Always from the same place, and they're mobbed on Christmas.
I saw Elf for the first time.
It's funny, isn't it?
I thought it was more cute than funny. Like, I think
Oh.
Christmas Vacation is funny. Elf wasn't as funny. It
Oh, I
was
thought Elf
a
was
cute,
hilarious.
wholesome movie, but I
This
don't
is
think it
the North
was
Pole. No, it's
funny.
not. Yes, it is. No, it's
I
not. This is the North Pole with Santa.
did see Daddy's Home too, and that was a funny Christmas.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh my God, it's got some hilarious scenes in it. He cuts down a he cuts down a 4G cell phone tower for a Christmas tree.
Okay.
Was the most expensive tree he's ever had. It cost him $20,000. It's pretty good. It has Mel Gibson, John Lithgow, Mark Wahlberg, and Will Ferrell.
I've never even heard of it.
Know, they had two of them, so
Yeah.
I only saw the first one and I didn't see all of the second one, but what I loved about this one was the comic timing. Like, it was just, I could relate to a lot of things. Like, they have one scene where somebody turned on the heat, and it's like me and Barb were laughing because my parents are always like, they have the heater at like 60 no matter what, like, and they don't want anybody to turn it on because they don't want to pay more for the heating bill. So it was just like funny, like I could relate to that because they all started to freak out. Who turned on the heat? Why am I sweating? And then the other scene that was weird is they have you ever listened to the lyrics of Let Them Know It's Christmas Time? It's not a bright song, you
That I
know.
can think.
Yeah. And they're at the mall and they're stuck, and they start singing that song, and it gets the whole people at the movie theater singing that song. And if you listen to the lyrics, they're just so dark.
Really?
Yeah, listen to that. That was a MTV thing, or what? It was for Africa. Let them know it's Christmas time. It had all these like musicians back in the MTV days.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I liked it. That one I thought was funny. That one made me laugh. Elf was cool. It was more like one of those like stories that is not anything new. Well, it's new in the fact that an elf is in New York City, but it has like the same feel good story beats, you know.
Yeah. We showed it to our kids this year. I watched it, I think, for the first time last year, the year before, and yeah, we all watched it together. This past week
Yeah.
or two. Yeah, that was fun.
I saw Collector's Call, which they had a special on like Christmas paraphernalia. It was very interesting. There's this guy, he lives in California somewhere, and he opened up a museum of movie props from all the movies. As a matter of fact, they had the elf costume in there. They had the the superhero that Arnold Schwarzenegger was in Jingle All the Way, and all kinds of different stuff. It was just fascinating. And then at the end, they wanted to make a deal for the Arnold Schwarzenegger suit for another suit that Will Ferrell wore in Elf, and he couldn't do it. But I like that show. I like it. I know a lot of it is like set up, but it's interesting. And they had one on like Dolly Parton and stuff. I like that. Dolly Parton just
Cool.
seems like a really good person. Like, I.
She's a freaking superhero.
Yeah,
There's
she
stuff that I've
is.
heard
Like,
about her.
what she donates and stuff, it's just, it amazes me. It's like I want to know more about that woman. And I've been listening to more Dolly Parton lately, classic Dolly Parton, more than new stuff. But
What about Islands in the Stream?
oh,
Because
Islands in the Stream, that's Kenny Rogers and her, right?
that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I grew up with Kenny Rogers because my dad loved Kenny Rogers. So the Gambler and
Oh, sure, of
all those
course.
different. We even watched all the movies together.
Really? I've never seen any of the movies, but I know the
Yeah.
song very well.
Yeah. You got to know when to hold and when to hold
Widow!
him.
Chris, come on,
Yeah.
you can join in too.
Well, I can't keep track of what song you guys are singing. Going from
That's
one
no
to
problem.
another.
One of my favorite songs was when me and Alan were singing to you on because of your wedding. That was a great video. I love when that comes up on Facebook. Because we were at a
Oh, yeah.
convention during it when he was getting married, and me and
Yeah, I
Alan
think it
sang
was
like Abracadabra and a couple of things. It was so much fun.
I was at Baltimore. You guys were at Baltimore
Yeah, we
Con,
were
so
at
it was around the
Baltimore.
same time.
Yeah. It
That's
was funny.
awesome. So, Mike, what did you have? What did you eat for on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, whichever one you normally do something?
Christmas Eve, we ate tamales and red
Yep.
chili. And on Christmas, we had Barb's work bought everybody like either a ham or turkey from Honey Baked Ham. So we had a spiral ham, and then Barb made scalloped potatoes, cheesy scalloped potatoes, which are really good. Yeah, it was a pretty good meal. It was a good holiday.
That's
I
good.
feel I don't feel I feel like it's going so fast. I can't believe a week is already gone. Like I just don't
When do you have to go back
understand.
to work?
Yeah, well, I don't have to go back to work next week, so I still have another week.
Oh, good.
But it's just
I'm on
been,
vacation this whole coming week too.
yeah, I just don't. I want more time off. I'm enjoying it too much.
I understand that. That is for sure.
I found out that I spend a good amount of time, like 50% of my time, reading and watching stuff I've already seen. Like just across the year, if I trend it.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't know. Movie-wise, it's easy because I already know I like something and I get
Yeah.
engrossed in it. Comic-wise, I'm not too sure when there's so much that I need to explore, but I find myself going back to a lot of oldies but goodies.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I got a lot of video games for Christmas this year, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
My family definitely took advantage of the fact that they knew I could play PlayStation 4 games on the PlayStation
Yeah.
5. Yeah.
Well, there aren't a lot of PS5 games to buy, really.
Right, no, there's not. And to be
Not
honest,
yet.
I'm not super excited about any of the ones that are currently available.
But you're
Whereas,
the perfect, like for me, like you're the perfect one to get one because you didn't have a PS4, so you got like so many good games
my
that
God,
you can choose from. Like, I already have a PS4, so I'll wait for quite a while, you know?
I mean, that makes sense, but you're
Yeah.
totally spot on. Where I what when did the PS4 come out? I want to say it was 2013, they said, maybe somewhere around there.
Yeah, maybe about 6 or 7 years, I think it
Yeah.
was.
So you think about that length of time, like all of these games are new to me, and if they're
Yeah.
popular, if they became a very successful game, then a lot of them are available at those, like the greatest hits or whatever you call it, like for $10 or $20. So, I got quite a few. So, I have enough now to play for probably a couple of years. But it was nice.
That's cool. Yeah,
Yeah.
actually, I have a PS4 Pro on top of it, so even more so. It's like that came out like 4 years ago, I think, and it's like a half step upgrade kind of.
Oh, okay.
It's like kind of like halfway in between the PS4 and PS5, but that was like a new thing. That was like the first time PlayStation and Xbox ever did that kind of thing where they had like a midway grade thing.
Yeah, kind of like a little bit of an upgrade.
Yeah.
Well,
So, but yeah, that's cool. That's fun. You have stuff to choose from.
definitely stuff to keep me busy. I got the that first Spider-Man game. I got a couple of the Lego. There's a Marvel collection. It's like three games on the disc with all the Lego ones, and then a DC Villains Lego game. So I'll be playing all those for sure.
That's cool. Yeah, and the kids would probably get into the Lego games a
Oh,
lot too.
100%. They've on the PS3. I had Batman and Star Wars and stuff, and I mean, they love playing those.
Yeah.
What did they get for Christmas?
There's no like big things that they were like really were excited for this year, but we they got
No Tickle Me Elmo.
oh no not right. There's nothing like that this year. No Tickle Me Elmos. But they got Zach got some Pokemon stuff. He's got this thing called there's this I don't even know how to explain it. They're toys, but you can play a game with them too. They transform into these little round balls, and then you roll them over a magnet and they pop open. They're called Bakugan, and he's got a million of these little balls that transform into creatures. So that was the big thing that he was really excited about. They both got different types of Lego sets. Allie got some Barbies. She got some craft things that she likes to play with. We got them Minecraft for the PS4 version of Minecraft, so they've been going crazy on that. And it hasn't arrived yet because it's delayed until like the 12th, but we're getting them a kid's Echo Dot for their room. So we gave them that was from us, so we gave them a little paper and showed them that that's still coming in the mail, so they're excited for that.
That's cool.
So you
Yeah.
actually made out better than they did, is what you're
Oh
saying.
yeah, for sure.
How did Latte have a good Christmas?
Audrey had a really nice Christmas. She was excited. Everyone was up bright and early on Christmas Day because, of course, the kids were waking us up at 6:30. And she got a cool toy, a stuffed toy that is actually on the inside is actual like rope. Like it looks like a regular stuffed animal for a dog with a squeaker and stuff, but it has a rope inside to each limb, so you
Yeah.
can she loves to play tug and stuff,
Yeah.
so that's a good one, because I mean she rips through the regular ones really quickly, so
Yeah.
hoping the one with the rope makes it last a little longer because it's got a little extra reinforcement in there.
Is
But yeah.
it frustrating to have like human children and have to pay attention to them when you have a dog or
The dog thinks it's frustrating.
Yeah, just kidding.
Like we yesterday we got we sat down to play Uno together, and because Jack got a Minecraft Uno, it's the same rules, it's just got Minecraft characters on there. So we all sat down on the floor to play it, and of course, where does Latte want to just like stand, like literally over the deck of cards sitting in the middle of the floor because she wants the attention. She wants attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she knows if she stands off to the side, she's not going to get any attention. So she just stands in the middle. She wants to be part of the group too.
Yeah, well, definitely.
Yep.
It's funny when we were doing the Zoom calls, we were sitting on the couch, and normally we only let Mabel on the couch like certain times. Like we'll put a blanket down for her to lay on if we're watching a movie and stuff. And so during the Zoom calls, we let her come up on the couch, and when she gets on the couch, she just stares out the window the entire time.
Yeah.
So we'll call it like dog TV. She's watching dog TV because she's just intent, and there's nothing going on outside, but she'll just stare the entire time we're on the Zoom call there. Someone asked us if our dog ever moves because she was just still like a statue the whole time, just intensely. And I was like, well, there must be something going on out there. And they're like, no, not really. She's just wanting, if something, if she did see something, you'd know.
Exactly. At
Because,
any second, something could be going on, and she doesn't want to miss
yeah,
it. Now, for
if
the
she did see a
longest
dog
time,
out there, she'd be barking.
we used to think Harley would only stay calm with the TV on. So we would, when we left for work, we'd leave the TV on. She
Latte,
used to love to
any time
watch like dogs on
outside.
TV. Now she doesn't care so much.
Yeah, they have that dog TV, that actual dog TV channel that you can
Yeah, we.
get, which we did a trial of that, but she didn't seem to pay any attention to it whatsoever, so.
Yeah.
They say most and I think it's dogs and cats. I know for sure about cats that because of the frequency that the TV is emitting the light, they don't see at the same frequency that we do, and so they don't really see in a lot of cases the screen like correctly.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like she really.
They said that some cat and like I said, I haven't checked with about dogs, but remember them saying like some cats, you know, do like I think it was like if their frequency is more of a lower frequency that's more like a human's because I guess there's a range, then that's when you'll see like the funny videos of a cat trying to grab something from on the TV and stuff like that. But for the most part, I think they can't really see images like we're seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
But if anything, Mike, they would, you know, the sound could reassure them, you know, for sure.
Yeah, well,
Yeah,
Harley looks at look. She knows when animals are on TV.
so she might
Like
be.
she know she'll follow dogs and watch them, and then she like loses interest once the dog left the screen. But it's she'll watch TV. Yeah, she's a good girl.
Yep, I'm actually just looked it up because I was looking at the because I we didn't have a dog at the time that I looked it up before, and yes, they do. They see the same as people do. I guess it's just cats that. But see, the thing is that you know, dog like your dog, Chris, they know that it's not. Not the people aren't really there, or the thing's not really there. You know what I mean? There's so
Yeah,
might not be interesting.
she seems to react to sounds sometimes. Like if there's a bird sound or something like that, she'll react to that, and then she'll realize that it's not a real bird and just and she, but
Yeah, God forbid.
it's visual.
If a dog barks on TV, oh Lord. Latte up, barking and running out of the room to figure out where the bark is coming from.
Yeah. Pretty funny.
I just ran across something on Facebook that's really funny. It has a Christmas story, kids. You know how they lick the pole?
Yeah.
Well, they're at a strip club licking the pole of a stripper.
That's not sanitary.
Love that movie. That movie's got so much. It's timeless, even though I think it takes place in like the 40s, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I would say the 50s, but I'm not sure.
That'd be interesting to find out. I thought because of
Mike.
the music, it was the 40s.
Oh, it could be. Mike, how's your acid reflux?
Pretty good lately.
Mine's gotten worse all of a sudden.
Mine got bad for a while, and then like I don't have to take anything lately. I don't know
Well,
if it's
that's.
because I've been eating less tomato based, but I ate like some red chili the other day, and I didn't take any pepsin or anything, and I was fine.
Fine. Yeah, that's
And then
good.
I ate a spaghetti panini. Did we take you to Panino's, Chris? I don't remember. But
No, I don't think so.
we ate at Panino's, and they have like a spaghetti wrap. It's like a sandwich wrap, and I put lots of sauce on it, and it didn't t bother me at all.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know, I notice like if I overeat, it definitely affects me in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I don't have that. I used to have I used I had exactly what you were having. In other words, I'd go to bed and I'm fast asleep, but I
Yeah.
wake up and it's almost like you vomit a little bit. It's like
Yeah,
something
you
comes up
wake
and
yourself up.
it burns like a mother. It like because it's so acidic. It's awful. It's an awful feeling, and then it's hard to get back to bed because your adrenaline got kicked up.
I'll go downstairs and have some water and take some Tums and try to fall back to sleep at that point. But yeah,
Tums usually
it
work,
happened last
but
night. Huh?
Tums will work for me, but they have a whatever's on the whatever it's made of, I don't like the way it stays on my tongue, like the
No,
flavor.
yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't know how to
Yeah, it's
describe
that
it, but it's
chalky kind of thing
yeah,
almost.
it's but it like stays, it lingers. Like you could try to wash it away with water and stuff, but it won't go away. It's not like a metallic or anything, but I could compare it to that. It just ugh. Yeah. That's a sign of old age. I remember the good old days. You could just eat as much pasta and whatever you wanted, and it
God,
wouldn't
we used
affect
to
you
go to taco
whatsoever.
place. It's 2 a.m. and
Yeah, now I'm
yeah.
drinking almond
Oh,
milk because I can't take regular milk anymore. I haven't tried lactaid, and it didn't work.
no.
So I don't know what it is about milk, but man, I can eat ice cream, doesn't affect me whatsoever. I could eat cheese, doesn't affect me whatsoever. I don't know what it is about milk.
What happens? You get a stomach ache?
No, you get the runs, man.
You probably, yeah, it might have some. Well, you said ice cream doesn't bother you, but I mean, that's one of the weird the things about thing about dairy is weird. That is weird is that like, you know, it's not really like normal for super normal for like a one species to like continually drink the milk of another species, you know?
To do with
Well, I always tell Barb I have this thing where we can't I can't like I could share a soda or share water, but I can't share milk with anyone. And she's like, "Why can't you share milk with anyone?" I said, "It's like drinking from the same teat. We can't do
it.
it."
It is weird, Chris, because it's because the other thing is that it's totally arbitrary. in terms of what species we decided that that's what we're going to drink our milk from.
Yeah. Well, I think it must have at some point been like, what was available and convenience. And I mean, nowadays it's just like what people are used to,
Yeah, sure.
Like at some point I'm sure like it made more sense and, things what happened to be available. I mean, like people found get nutrition from it and stuff. I just mean that, it that's I think part of the reason why like you do have a lot of people that are and have intolerance issues,
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a species, I don't think we're like after, and this is true for a lot of, at least a lot of mammals, is that after you, are older, an adult part of your species, you normally don't keep drinking milk. I mean, that's what, when they're, when you're first born, whether you're a kitten, a baby, whatever, that's what they'll have, but then they don't continue to drink it into adulthood.
Yeah. I still like during the summer I still have like normal ice cream and I'll have like normal cheese sometimes and stuff, but I haven't drank regular milk in a really long time. I prefer almond milk at this point. Just like I don't know, it doesn't feel like I don't feel as like it as heavy like it's as heavy on my stomach,
I
Oh,
do
it's
too.
a big difference. And it doesn't
Yeah.
taste, I like I'm picky with taste and I just didn't think I'd like almond milk, but I do.
Just before we joined the call,
Yeah, I guess.
I had cookies and milk.
Ah, like Santa.
Tis the season.
Yes.
Plus, I have a thing like I don't know if you guys have ever noticed when you've been around me, but like I have like dairy stuff. I just deal with it with ice cream and stuff, but like I'll have to clear my throat a lot after I have
Oh,
something like creamy. It's not just dairy, it's like anything creamy. And the creamier it is, the more annoying it is afterwards, or I'm just like doing that like
I can imagine.
constantly. But anyway.
I have the problem of eating and getting sleepy. Like, I get really sleepy after I eat.
That's because your energy is going to try to like break down the food that you eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you have, if you're, what, depending on what you're eating too, if you're having heavier food, I bet you with what Chris eats, you probably don't get as sleepy. That's what I would guess.
Sometimes, like, I mean, I'm not the, like, I don't eat meat, but I'm not like the, healthiest like eater in the world either, even though I don't eat meat. Like, well, my thing is I think I still eat too much sometimes, like even though I don't, eat meat, but I think my portions are I eat too big a portion sometimes. But yeah, I mean, I don't, that's one thing I don't miss about like about eating meat though, like there are like eating heavier foods is it, but I think sometimes it's just the amount of food that you eat that can make you tired too, regardless of what it is, because that happens to me sometimes too. I overeat and then get kind of sleepy.
Well, that was our old man talk.
Oh my God, we're transitioning to regular geek brunch.
Yeah.
I bet you Bill doesn't get sleepy after he eats.
Bill eats the same thing though all the time.
Well,
It's
not,
all
but and he doesn't eat
beans.
enough of anything that could possibly get him sleepy.
Yeah,
Right?
I think he's even healthier than I
Yeah.
am.
Yeah, I bet you he keeps his portions low. Not overly low, just
Yeah,
not.
he eats half a donut, and who does that?
That doesn't even make any sense.
Nah, that doesn't even seem human to me. That's like aliens.
Yeah.
I've been watching that Heaven's Gate documentary on HBO, and it's pretty fascinating because those guys, thought they were aliens. It's very weird. They
And
thought
they
that
ate
the aliens were
half a
gonna come.
donut.
Yeah, they ate half a
When
donut.
they were eating half a donut, didn't know what the hell was going on.
I didn't know
Oh.
about that suicide, that mass suicide.
Yeah, that's some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Is that the one where Drink the Kool-Aid comes from, or is that was
No,
that a
that's a
different one?
different one. That's Jonestown or whatever.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I know there was like a
this one
specific one
happened.
where the saying came
This
from.
one's unique though because they didn't like manipulate. Like usually you have a leader that sort of manipulates their flock, if you will, or whatever.
Yeah.
This one seemed like they, at least from what I could tell, other than their rules, they were all treated as equal. Like it's very strange.
Huh. I watched
That can be kind of fascinating.
the stuff is very interesting, just in terms of human, psychology and behavior. But
Yeah.
I watched the it was a mini series on HBO, The Vow. It's about that Nixxiom cult.
Yeah.
And what's her name from Smallville was
Oh
one of
man,
the
I was just
leaders.
gonna mention that. I didn't realize that that's what that was about, but yeah, I was just gonna say.
Yeah, I thought it's pretty interesting. It's pretty well done. The fact that it's an 8-episode thing means that they definitely go into stuff. Don't, rush through it like in an hour and a half. But yeah, I mean, it was interesting. It was definitely interesting, and like you even get to the point they did it well in the first episode. Like even though I already knew like bad things about it, if you didn't know anything bad about it and you were just watching the first episode, you would come out saying, "Oh my God, this organization is amazing." It's like, why wouldn't you want to be part of this organization? Because that's how they really posed it. I mean, that's how you get people in, at least for this one. They you get all see all the benefits to it before
Yeah.
you see anything bad, and by that time you're deep into it, and you're like, you're committed to this way of life, and it's almost like I've dedicated this much time. You kind of a lot of these people kind of fooled themselves for a long period of time that it wasn't really what they thought it was until they
Yeah.
finally, at least some of them, couldn't ignore it anymore. And those are the ones that are being interviewed a lot, the ones that have gotten out and actually like helped the FBI get this guy.
Yeah, I always noticed when I'd always see notice articles when or when I came across articles about that because I didn't watch Smallville to the end, but I used to, especially early on, I used to watch it regularly. And she was always my favorite that actress. So it was always just kind of really weird to me that. Because I remember thinking like that she kind of disappeared before the news came out what she had gotten
Yeah.
involved in, and it
Yeah.
still to me is just kind of like, man, it's so crazy because I still really like her.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, still hasn't been sentenced. It keeps getting delayed, and the latest
Yeah.
delay was because of COVID. But yeah, so she hasn't even been sentenced yet. She was found guilty, but she hasn't been sentenced.
Well, she was like one of the sex ringleaders
Oh
too.
yeah, she was like no
So
number
she
two or
would,
number
yeah,
three. Right.
she would tell them like what to eat and give them permission to eat and all that
Yep,
shit. So
yeah, all that stuff, yeah.
she's a mess. I mean, you know what else is a good documentary is that DB Cooper thing.
Yeah,
Oh
you were
God,
saying I've got to on my watch list. I've
that
got to
was
check
my
that out.
favorite because I love the way they formatted that because it's like a what if and it gives you like five plausible stories, and to me, each one is believable. Like each one has merit, and it's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really well done. I'd highly recommend it. And
I
plus,
will.
that one doesn't consume a lot of these docuseries are like 4 episodes or 8 episodes.
Yeah, the
The
bow is eight episodes.
DB
Yeah.
Cooper is just an hour and a half. It's one.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'll definitely be checking that one out. But yeah, it is. like you want to say to yourself, like, I don't see how I would ever fall for one of, you know, one of these cults. But I think that almost everybody that has been in one and gotten out has probably said the same thing. Like,
Yeah,
you know,
because
nobody
there's a
goes
lot
in saying,
of,
I'm going to join a cult.
if you look at a lot of
No.
them, there's a lot of like intelligent
Yeah, it doesn't make you
people.
stupid. No, it doesn't make you stupid. I think you have to have certain mindsets. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, I would like to believe that I wouldn't go in it. Chris, there's no way in hell you would ever join a cult. You just, like, you don't need those types of affirmations that it seems like people need when they're joining these types of organizations.
Well,
Like, they need the
maybe me
outside.
now, but you know,
Well,
there might have
definitely
been
you
time.
now. I don't know how you were before, but I mean, there is
Yeah.
no way now that you would ever be interested. I mean, you'd be like, I really don't care.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, but yeah, I wouldn't, you know, it's, what am I trying to say? I agree though that it doesn't really come down to intelligence or anything like that. It's you know, because the people that run them, you know, are usually really good at preying on certain aspects of human psychology, you know. And like you said, you get wrapped up in it. I don't think, you know, I don't think it really has much to do with intelligence at all.
I think it's people that need social structure or something. Like they have some kind of like social affirmation they need, or they need to belong to something. Barb says no. She says, you dumbass.
I kind of, that's what, but it's funny because I'm kind of with you, Mike, in terms of I feel like these people feel like they
Belong.
need to better themselves.
Yeah.
They're looking for a way to make themselves better. And they are just they're they, that outside that type of affirmation, that type of structure is something that they feel is it will help them become a better human being, I think. And then I think a lot of times that you get sucked into some of the stuff that's obviously not good. But I mean, I don't know. What does Barb think that it is?
What does Barb think it is if it's not what I said? 'Cause Rob agrees with me. You're obviously right and above us, but what is
Probably go watch the Nexium one.
He watched the Nexium one.
Those people weren't all in search of something to belong to. These people were professionals
I
and
know they're
they were
professionals. They have a
alive
hole
and
in their heart somewhere
fulfilled.
they need to fill.
Necessarily.
Then why do you join it? What is your reason?
They just felt camaraderie. They didn't
That's
feel.
what we're saying.
But that's not necessarily a hole in your life.
No, it's like you need camaraderie. You need to be part of something.
Social affirmation, I think, is
Social
kind of what you said.
affirmation. That's what I
Yeah.
even used.
Yeah.
That's what I said earlier, and Barb says, no. She doesn't know. She doesn't know. You don't know.
You don't know.
Two cents from the peanuts gallery there.
Yeah.
She's we're all wrong.
That's
In
okay.
reality though, I probably am wrong because I was only right once in life.
Yeah, when was that?
Basically I was singing the song and I said the word copacetic and Barb said, copacetic isn't a word. And I
Oh.
said, yes, it is a word. I said, I use it. What are you talking about? And she found out she was wrong, that copacetic was a word. And that
See,
was
I, you know, and
the
this is,
only time I was right in since we've been together.
I thought that you were going to say that the only time that you were right was when you decided to marry Barb.
That's what I thought you
Well,
were going to
that was right too, but I'm talking about
say
like the when you're arguing about something.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Look how romantic Rob and I are.
I know, right? Mike, when's the new previews coming? Is it this coming week?
Yeah.
What is it?
Did you renew your subscription to the database?
No, I need to do that. I have to do that always every Christmas season because they always have that little sale going on.
Yeah, I had to renew mine a couple days ago.
I think mine runs out in tomorrow, I want to say, so I'm
Mine
going to
was
do
out
that
the tw on
today.
Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And I always
Yeah.
do it a couple days before, so I don't ever have to worry about it.
Well, as long as we're talking about this, I'm going to pull it up while we're on the podcast and I'll do the renewal so I don't forget.
It's pretty fast now because you can download it. I always get the physical media too, but
Me too.
they're fast. Even with all this crazy shipping stuff that's been going on, I did it and it shipped. It's already here. Like,
Oh, wow.
I didn't even pay for the extra shipping because I didn't want to. I wanted it to go slow because I thought it would get caught in USPS hell like everything else.
Yeah.
Well, I ordered something from Arizona, and I ordered Savage Eve number 3 and 4 so I could complete the run, and it was gone for a long time. So we opened up a case on it. Barb opened up a case for me, and they came back and said the package was destroyed or lost, so you have to go try to reclaim whatever it is. It was insured, blah blah blah. So I went back to the guy and he refunded part of my money. I think he's on vacation or whatever, and he said, I'll get the rest later on. But they came in. So now I have to pay him back for the half that he refunded for me. But it's weird. I thought, why would the postal service say a package is lost if it's not? Like it, 'cause usually they do some kind of investigation, and I know they've lost some of my Kickstarters. Like I don't like. I
I
wish.
gotta tell you guys something once you're done with your story,
Well,
because something
I
happened to
just
me
said
with a
I wish
Kickstarter.
Kickstarters would send a tracking number with them, so I know which ones are sent. All I know it's easier if you only support like 5 a year or whatever. But when you support like 7 a month, it's hard to track it.
It's hard to keep track as to what you've gotten and what you haven't and when it's supposed to cut, like
Yeah, or if
in
they've
terms of
even
missing it.
shipped it,
Like,
yeah.
yeah. You know what happened to me? The first time ever I had a problem with a Kickstarter. It came the envelope, so they put it in one of those white like folder type envelopes.
Yeah.
Very thin, you know, just a regular envelope that say do not bend.
Yeah.
Okay? It was two trades. Two paperback trades in this skinny little thing. There was nothing in there. I was delivered an envelope.
Yeah, but was it one of those envelopes that says, "We apologize,
No,
but your package
it
was run"?
didn't say anything, but you could tell by the way that, because it's the one that you like just on the back, you just rip open with the, you know,
Yeah.
the little thing. Well, you could tell they, because they're stuffing two trades. And this thing that can, you know, basically fit one single issue comic,
Yeah.
I'm positive it popped open on itself because it didn't, it wasn't open the regular way, a way a person would tear the whole strip off. It was
Yeah.
just popped open at the top and there was nothing inside. So I'm positive it came out at some point in the mail. And then, so they just delivered me this envelope. I don't know what the deal was, but I reached out to the guy. I'm like, obviously, I have no way of proving this, you
Yeah.
know, I showed him the picture and stuff like that, but I mean, he was cool about it. He's like, we're going to send you a new one. And this time he put that envelope in a padded, envelope and sealed it with tape. And he's like, when you get out to the post office next time, he's like, no rush, but when you get out, just report it as theft. Said, okay, but I'm positive it wasn't theft. I'm positive it was just too big. For the
Yeah,
envelope
but you want to
over
try to
top.
get what your product is. That's what sucks.
Right.
I
So
mean,
I was happy that he agreed to resend it to me.
yeah.
He was under no obligation to do that, but I'm like, I think that the way that he said it, that they're sending those is
Yeah.
that was ridiculous.
If you're running a business, like, or even if you're just selling a lot of stuff on eBay, like, sometimes you just gotta, like, err on the side of the customer and take the risk that maybe someone's trying to scam you, because
Yep.
otherwise, like, you end up with, it's like better in the long run that you have a good reputation,
Yeah, you're right.
you know. So that's probably the best way for them to handle it.
Yeah, I was really happy that they agreed to that. I wasn't sure that he was going to, just because there's no way that I could prove that anything happened. I mean, for all he knows, I just opened it up, took it out, and said I didn't have it. But why would I want two more of the same thing? You know, I don't know. But
yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, yeah, there's probably a possibility someone of doing that, but it's like you're probably just better off like, okay, believe in people, because
yeah,
if not, then you would have been like sort of pissed off and
exactly.
Instead, like, you know, if he does something, instead you're happy and like you think favorably of him, you're more likely to remember him. And like, if he does something in the future, you're more likely to, you know, be a repeat customer. So
yeah, 100%.
There's Chris's business advice moment.
But you're right. And, you know, I'm happy, but that was the only time I've ever had an issue so far. And I haven't gotten as many Kickstarters as you, Mike, but, you know, I've gotten my fair share.
Yeah.
Especially this quarantine season. Seems like I have gone all out on Kickstarters, just sitting at home and looking through the app.
Mm-hmm. So you guys want to kick this one off?
Yeah, I guess some of it comes down to volume of... The more stuff you buy through the mail, the you're always increasing your chance.
Sure.
Something going wrong.
Yep. Yeah, we could get started, Mike.
All right.
Yeah, an hour in.
It's been an hour.
It's a Christmas wrap-up special.
Oh, we had a catch-up. It's been since Thanksgiving that we've all talked.
Yeah. You want me to go first?
It's up to you.
I'll go first. I never go first.
Right,
so
go ahead.
Let me see. I'm gonna do a marathon, but I'm gonna cover Marvel Premiere Iron Fist issues 15 through the first appearance of Misty Knight in issue 21.
Whoa.
So, I was real curious to. I had read parts of these before. I own them, but I hadn't read all of them. And I've been into this Netflix Iron Fist. I really like the show. Barb, are you all right?
Yeah.
All right. I had to make sure I didn't have to give her mouth to
mouth. Yeah, I heard her coughing.
Yeah. So, I wanted to see like. What similarities there were with the show and the comic book. And I was surprised to see they took a lot of the source material. They just changed it around, especially with the Meachums and Danny Rand. And I mean, they added the Hand into this series, but it makes sense because they were trying to build a TV cinematic universe, and they wanted to tie things together from Daredevil to Iron Fist to Defenders, so it made sense that they would change who, you know, the villains were. But I really liked the changes they made in the TV show, because I don't think what was in the comic would have flown as well as what they did. Like they had made it so like Danny grew up with the Meachums. And it was the brother, the sister, Danny, and then the fathers. They made it a change for the TV show that they were killed on a plane crash, and then Danny got away and was rescued by Kunlun monks. Well, in the comic book, they were all searching for Kunlun, and Harold Meacham was with the Rands on this trip looking for Kunlun. When Harold Meacham killed Danny's father, because he loved, not only did he want the company, but he loved the mother of Danny. So that was a little twist to the story. And the mother froze to death, or she tried to protect Danny from getting eaten by wolves and sort of sacrificed herself, and Danny ran across a bridge and was saved, whereas in the other one they all died in the plane crash in the TV show, but it made sense. And then it's the revenge story because Iron Fist wants to go back and get revenge or find out who killed his parents. Or not necessarily revenge because he doesn't know at the time what happened in the TV show, but in the comic book he wanted revenge right off the bat. Like he trained, he got branded by the dragon on his chest, he got the Iron Fist, and then left Kunlun when the doors opened again, which is every 10 years, and they maintain that in the comic book as well as the TV show, the 10 year thing, that the door to that location will only open up every 10 years. So he goes back. Well, in the comic book, it's sort of like he has to fight like various ways through to get to Meacham, but when he gets to Meacham, he finds out he's in a wheelchair and he doesn't have any legs, and as he wants to kill him, but he doesn't. He somehow feels like I can't kill this man, even though he sort of killed my family, and sort of is walking away. And there's another ninja that kills Harold Meacham for him. And then Joy walks in the room and she's like, "Oh, you killed my father." So then Joy is trying to get revenge for the death of her father. And there is no brother in that. I forget what his name is. Wade Meacham. So Wade Meacham and Joy Meacham in the TV show, they're brother and sister. Well, Wade Meacham in the comic book is her uncle. So now her uncle is trying to help Joy get revenge and hires what's that kick guy, Batroc, the
Yeah,
French guy
Batroc.
that
Yeah.
the French guy that has is a kickboxer kind of thing.
The
I love
Leaper.
him.
The
Yeah. The
Leaper,
Leaper.
yeah. It has a pretty good fight scene because they really make it like a kung fu comic book because, well, he's not always using the Iron Fist, but he's always lion stance, or he's like calling out his he doesn't call out his moves, but the captions tell you what stance he's in and what how he's fighting. And he takes him out pretty good, but Batroc has like 100 soldiers with him, and they all attack him, but he's able to call upon the Iron Fist. And guess what? That ninja that killed Harold is back there, and you don't know who that identity of that ninja is. Well, he meets Colin Wing in this Marvel premiere too, and it turns out that that ninja is Colin Wing's father, and he can manifest that ninja or be possessed by that ninja through the book that he found, which tells him the origins of Kunlun. So in the TV show, they do that through sort of Butaku or I can't remember what his name is, but he works for the Hand. But in the comic books, it's really Colleen's father, which is really interesting. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting parallels in this story, and it's a fun journey in finding it. He finds a lot, fights a lot of goofy villains. Like you think these kung fu villains would look more karate-esque, but he fights Triple Iron, who looks like something out of he looks like a machine man. And then I just read the first appearance of Colleen, and Colleen is looking for her friend. I mean, not Colleen, Misty Knight. Misty Knight is looking for Colleen and her father, and then gets caught up in a fight with Iron Fist. So like there's some really cool stories that I'm enjoying, and I'm even enjoying it even more. I don't think I would enjoy it as much as I'm enjoying it because of the TV show. I think the TV show is making me enjoy this comic book a lot more, looking for parallels and what they're deriving out of this source material. But I'm on to Defenders in terms of the TV shows, and it's pretty good too.
That's cool.
Yeah, I should be done with it by the Christmas break. At least the Iron Fist, I'm getting really close.
I'm glad you're enjoying that. And I saw that you're been posting all the Iron Fist and Marvel Premiere and stuff that you've been reading, and yeah, it looks a lot of it looks really, really cool, I have to say. I've read very little of him, like that older stuff on his own. Like I've read what, you know, mostly just from Power Man and Iron Fist.
I find it interesting, like from a historical perspective, that Iron Fist's first appearance is in Marvel Premiere 15, and in Marvel's Super Action is Shang-Chi's first appearance on number 15.
Yeah,
so
that's
that
right.
Is quite interesting. The Shang-Chi stuff is even more interesting because, yeah, everyone's aware that, you know, Fu Manchu is Shang-Chi's father, and that's why they were having trouble, like, reprinting his story, is because Fu Manchu's a licensed character. But what I was fascinated with is I read the first appearance of Shang-Chi and the second one, and it's sort of his father sends him to go murder a man. Well, Shang-Chi gets there. He finds that man is in a wheelchair, much like Meacham. Oh, no, he's not in a wheelchair. Sorry, excuse me. He's in a deathbed. He's 95 years old. He's dying of some disease, or maybe it's cancer or whatever. And Shang-Chi completes the mission. He kills this 95-year-old man unarmed to do the wishes of his father. And then comes in a guy with a shotgun, and he's in a wheelchair, and he's going to shoot Shang-Chi. And Shang-Chi's no, he said, you know, I only went to go, I had to make just and murder this man. And he goes, it's your father. And he convinces Shang-Chi that his father's evil. And then he detaches from his organization. But it's like two issues in, and he's really not done, like, not one thing heroic. A matter of fact, he kills his best friend. He killed a 95-year-old man. Of course, his best friend was sent by Fu Manchu to go kill Shang-Chi, so he's kind of defending himself. But it's sort of interesting, you know, the parallels that I saw in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi, and that they're both out in issue 15. But it's really cool stuff. What makes Iron Fist more interesting is that the creative team only did the first issue. Like, the creators of Iron Fist only did Marvel Premiere number 15, and then they were gone.
Wow.
So it's like they were replaced. So it was very, very interesting.
Very cool.
So that's my Kung Fu segment.
I can go next. Hang on. Pull this up. All right. So to go along with Wonder Woman that we saw the other day, I'm covering Wonder Woman number 275. And on the cover, it's got the amazing Amazon is battling for her life against the claws of the cheetah. So in this one, this is written by Jerry Conway and Jose Delbo, and Dave Hunt are the artists. And Cheetah is...
so this is Volume 1 Wonder Woman, right?
Volume 1, yes. Yes, yeah. Cheetah is out, and she's overlooking a dam, and she's sneaking in, dispatching a security guard, and she starts wrecking havoc with the controls of the dam, which cause it to kind of overload, and the water just crashes through and destroys the dam. A town below is totally sunk underwater. And she's got a smile on her face. We don't understand what her purpose is at this point. Before we cut to the Pentagon, and Diana Prince is working at the Pentagon, as she does, and her and Etta are outside Steve Trevor's office, and they can hear him getting reamed out by a general because they're discussing this dam overload, And it was Steve Trevor's idea to use defense technology in as part of that project. And now that it's failed, the guy's yelling at Steve, saying that, there's going to be a congressional investigation, and that, you better get your house in order, because, if somebody's going to go down for it, it's not going to be the general. And basically saying it's going to be Steve Trevor. So he wants to go, and Steve Trevor wants to go see what exactly might have happened. So he takes Diana, and they get in a helicopter and fly out to the scene. And they're looking up from on high, down at all these house rooftops that are just, everything else is covered underwater. And Steve basically is saying, the computer's operation is foolproof. There's no way that this could have happened without sabotage. So he continues to look through his binoculars and keeps talking. However, she, as he's distracted, she runs off and quickly changes into Wonder Woman, and jumps down below. And of course, Steve sees that Wonder Woman is there. He doesn't know that Wonder Woman is Diana Prince. As soon as she goes down there, she sees a child trapped on one of the rooftops. So she rescues him, and she says, "Okay, now I gotta look for some proof as to what that there was sabotage." And she turns, and she sees that she doesn't need to look for proof, because the proof has come to her. She sees Cheetah in a speedboat, going away, and she immediately notices that it's the Cheetah costume, but that Cheetah looks different, and her hair color is actually different. And so she goes ahead and lassos the back of the speedboat, and she starts water skiing without skis, until Cheetah sees her and tries to start banging her into the sides of houses. And as Wonder Woman gets closer, she realizes that it's not Priscilla Rich, who is the original Cheetah. It's a different woman named that she recognizes, named Debbie Domain, and she's a member of the Organization for Ecological Sanity. And so this Cheetah, this new Cheetah, takes exception to the fact that Wonder Woman's against her and are defending these. The other people that she tried to destroy. So when Wonder Woman finally gets up onto the speedboat, Cheetah starts attacking, tries to claw her, but Wonder Woman catches it with her bracelets, and they start battling on the boat. Cheetah manages to get Wonder Woman thrown off balance, and Wonder Woman plunges into the water. And as they're fighting, Debbie slash the Cheetah is just going on a rant about how human beings are ravaging the planet. They kill, all the other creatures on the earth. They dam the streams, et cetera, et cetera. And that all of these abusers need to be slain, and Cheetah will be the champion for the earth. So she's being posed as like an ecological terrorist or ecological terrorist. And so now, as I said, Wonder Woman's sinking into the water. She actually hits her head and actually goes unconscious. So Cheetah gets away on the speedboat, and her Wonder Woman's lasso was still tied to the back of it. So she grabs the lasso and takes off. Somebody manages to rescue Wonder Woman, and she gets back in touch with Steve Trevor. It turns out that she's okay. She doesn't have a concussion or anything. She's just a little bit bruised up. And they start discussing what she's uncovered, that and Steve says there's a police report that just came through that Priscilla Rich, the original Cheetah, is dead, and she was found last evening. And then Wonder Woman says that confirms I already knew, and this is a new cheetah, and she's a deadlier threat because she feels like she's actually honorably defending the earth rather than just looking out for herself. Steve tries to get her aside to talk a little bit longer, and Wonder Woman says, "Sorry, but I've got more important things that I need to do." So that, of course, upsets Steve because he feels that he's in love with a woman that doesn't even know he exists. She goes back to her house, and Etta, I don't know if in this time that if her and Etta are roommates, but it seems like she is because she's made dinner. She also tells Etta she doesn't have time for dinner, even though Etta made it specifically for her because she's got to take care of some things. So she starts doing some investigating by them in the marina, and she ends up tracking down a yacht that Debbie Domain actually has owned. And so she starts ransacking it, looking through. She manages to find her lasso in a locked drawer. And just as she finds it, who comes up from behind her? But of course, Cheetah. So she was originally going to try to reason with her, but Cheetah is just irate about the fact that this woman has invaded her boat and is apparently stealing from her. So Wonder Woman had been in civilian clothes, but it was dark enough that nobody could see who she was. She quickly turns into Wonder Woman with the help of her lasso, and the two of them start going at it. As they're battling, Wonder Woman's elbow hits the throttle of the boat and makes it go into reverse. It starts going backwards. They continue to argue, Wonder Woman trying to reason with Cheetah. Cheetah saying that she knows that people are evil, and that they've destroyed the planet, and that she needs to continue her work in destroying power plants, factories, pipelines, et cetera. And she says, "Men must die so that our world can live." And as the boat keeps going backwards, all of a sudden now it's in line to get bowled over by a huge ferry with a bunch of cars in the back. So she points that out to Cheetah, and Cheetah thinks that she's just trying to distract her and lying. And she turns around and she sees that it's about to hit, and she says, "Oh no!" And boom, the whole thing explodes. And as they were battling as well, Cheetah kept referring to doing this work on behalf of her master. And so Wonder Woman, of course, wants to know who this master is, and Cheetah won't say. In the explosion, they both are, of course, blown off of the yacht. Wonder Woman bobs back up and starts calling out for Cheetah, but she's nowhere to be found, and she wonders who this master is. But we don't have to wonder because the very last panel is Cobra himself looking on in a monitor, becoming very upset that Wonder Woman has interfered with his operations again. And this time she's going to have to die. And so beginning next issue is the Cobra Quest. There's also a quick backup with Huntress, and it guest stars Power Girl. And you've got in this one the Thinker. This occurs on Earth 2. And you've got the Thinker who is actually trying to control a senator to outlaw vigilantes. And he's going along with it because he's basically being blackmailed. And by the end of this one, they manage to rescue the senator. They don't know that it's the Thinker yet, but they manage to rescue the senator, and the senator somehow knows that Huntress is Helena, and then we'll learn more in the next issue. So this was a pretty cool one. I was inspired to read even if it was an older one, a Cheetah story after watching the movie the other day. So it's a lot of fun.
Very cool.
Sweet.
How did you like the portrayal of Cheetah in the movie?
I thought it was it was pretty interesting. I liked it well enough, but I didn't like the premise of Chris, you've seen it, you saw it too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not like that the whole premise of this is basically making wishes. I didn't think that that was a very strong way
Yeah,
to
I think they
have
made
the movie.
Maxwell Lord, like, I think he would have been a lot more interesting in this, being more subtle, like behind the scenes and not having these godlike powers, because he has the power to influence, but it's not like global. Like, he influenced Superman like for a while, and that's how Wonder Woman broke his neck. But he has that power, but it's not like at the level that they did in the movie. I think they overdid him, and I understand why they do it, because they need somebody to battle an Amazon. But some of the best Wonder Woman stories, I think, are because she's more powerful and she could be manipulated. Like the Dr. Psycho, like some of the I would have put Dr. Psycho in there, or have Maxwell Lord like pulling the strings behind the scenes, but not have him like godlike.
Yeah,
But I thought
I agree
that
with
the
you.
opening sequence was so
Oh, that
brilliant.
was
Like
cool. Yeah.
the little girl, like I love the fact that she was in the lead, and then she had to cheat to get back on, because she lost her horse, and she used her brain to get back into the race, and it was pretty incredible. But her trainer said, "Nah, you're not gonna win like that." And
Yeah,
then she,
I
I
agree
love
with you.
that.
I just think that hinging everything on basically a crystal that is basically gives out wishes and making Max into a genie was kind of a weak way to introduce all this stuff.
Yeah, very,
And
very, very.
I mean, it's just like you know how it's going to have to end. Everyone's going to have to reverse their wishes, and that goes along with Cheetah, where, like, I feel like she should have had her own origin going on that didn't have to do with making wishes.
Yeah, I like how they introduced Cheetah. Like,
Me too.
I thought
Me
that
too.
was like really legit. I think that stone, it sort of crippled the movie. Like, it was its own plot. It was still entertaining. I was
It
very
was. It was
entertained.
very entertaining. It was
It
very entertaining.
just I think it crippled some of, and it surprises me, because it was like a crutch, and Geoff Johns usually knows how to write his way out of that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And he wrote the screenplay along with Patty Jenkins. There was a third name, and I can't remember the third name, but
Sounds like me and you have the exact same.
I
Like, we
thought
both enjoyed it, thought it was good,
I thought
but
the movie in the first third of the movie was like really well done. Like, I was like engrossed in it. I even liked I liked well, you know how much I love Superman 3. I love the campiness of that mall scene. It had all of the Silver Age goofiness that could possibly happen at a mall. Like,
it did.
I adored it. Like, I was like, oh God, I love this. But yeah, it had strengths and it had weaknesses. But like the first Wonder Woman, I have problems with the villains, like the villain endings, because I thought they made Ares like. I was more interested in Dr. Poison and that other guy, that Nazi guy that was with Dr. Poison.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was good, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't as strong, I thought, as the first film.
Yeah. What did you think, Chris?
I mostly agree with you guys. I thought it was a bit disappointing because the first one was so good. I felt like it was more of an average superhero film, which is not what I would say about the first one. And I think If it hadn't been Wonder Woman as the main character, I would have liked it even less, you know, because I like Wonder Woman and I like Gal Gadot's portrayal of her.
She's fantastic, isn't she?
So that added to the film. And I thought Kristen Wiig was good as well. I mean, for what...
She's always good, though. I like her as a actress. Mm-hmm. This was sort of a different role for her, but I thought she did a great... I love the transformation of her because it was sort of subtle. Like, she just turned beautiful and confident overnight, and she loved that she had that because she was sort of ignored. Like, the person that hired her didn't even remember her name or who she was.
Yeah, that they've had ever met.
Yeah. It was so... God, that beginning felt like Superman 3. I freaking loved it. Because it was sort of like that, too, with Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor was sort of like a nobody, and nobody paid attention to him. And then he got all this confidence and stuff, except he sort of did it on his own. Like, he was naturally talented to be a computer programmer. And he didn't, like, have to have a rock tell him that, but it was pretty fun. I enjoyed it and the popcorn, and I missed the movie experience a little bit. Like, I think it would have been better if we had the movie at the theater, but it is what it is. We don't have a big TV, but we have a good enough TV.
Yeah. It's still fun.
I do like that he would bleed, like Maxwell Lord's nose and stuff.
Yeah, they threw that in as a little touch. Didn't they?
Yeah, a little nice touch.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're for the most part on the same page with the movie, but yeah.
Yeah, I could see what they were going for, but the crystal thing was just like almost just too obvious of a device. You know, like, you have those in movies a lot where you have a certain device that the plot revolves around, and I don't know, something about it was just almost too obvious.
Well, yeah, and there's nothing that can't be, when you throw something like that in there, there's nothing that can't be done or explained away that way. It's almost like, I don't want to say it's lazy writing, but it's that's the type of, I don't know how to say it, because I don't mean that it's lazy writing. It's just, it just makes everything.
You could get away with murder, in other words, and you can't corner yourself. Like, you have like a way in and a way out.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
It's such a powerful device that, it's tough.
And you kind of know how everything is. It removes kind of any surprise because you kind of know how everything's going to go from the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, there were some really good moments and some, you know, good portrayals and stuff. I think like Max Lord was good with what he was asked to do, you know?
Yeah.
But like, the choice they made, like, I see where they kind of got to the wish thing because they're looking for like a way to, they decide not to go with like mind control or whatever. Like, they're looking for a way to introduce Max Lord to a general audience, you know? But I don't know. I think the choice maybe might not have been the best one.
Yeah.
At least didn't work for me exactly, but.
That's because the magic of Maxwell Lord is more subtle. Like, the Justice League were working for him like a long time before they even realized what was going on. And, his power is his, suggestion, but being real subtle about it, not being like blatant obvious, like, and he wants to control the situation, but he's doing it behind the scenes. He's not just like taking over that. I think that it would have made it a lot more interesting with him in the background and then focused on the cheetah. In other words, I think Maxwell Lord could have been the setup for the third one and just keep him there and then have her go with the cheetah. Because I think the cheetah is a strong enough character to. They could have done some kind of plot with her.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of films. They sometimes throw in too much. Like, it's just too. Some of them can juggle it right, and some of them just have a hard time juggling it. Like, when they threw in Batman, was it Batman Forever? I thought they threw in too much when they put in Poison Ivy, Bane, and the Riddler into the same movie.
I totally agree.
Yeah, it's been a trend for a while with superheroes in particular. It's like,
but you always have to one-up what you've done before, and the way that they do it is not necessarily through storytelling, but in just the number of the number of villains or characters or something, you know.
Yeah.
Well, in the Christian Bale one, when he opened up with the Scarecrow, but the Scarecrow was like subtle in it. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that because it's just, it's not like.
Yeah, that
I'm
works.
Gonna throw all of them. It just works because it's like an it feels more natural. Yeah, but I'm glad we all enjoyed it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if it would have been, it's always, it would have been great if it was as good as the first one, but it's like, you can't, can't have everything. And I don't get my expectations and hopes up so high that if it's not, you know, I can still find something to enjoy about it, you know?
Yeah. I thought it was interesting how they took care of, like, Trevor and how he was sort of in that other guy's body.
Yeah, I did not expect that.
I had just watched like a day earlier. I watched Shallow Hal, and it was sort of like it was sort of like a similar premise, because Shallow Hal would see these women as beautiful when they weren't, because somebody like hypnotized them, and what she was seeing was Steve Trevor. But when he looked in the mirror and anybody else saw him, it was that other guy. So that was, I thought that was interesting.
It is funny that you just recently watched
Shallow Hal. It's a good movie. I just can't believe him. Jack Black and Jason Alexander are two of the ugliest men on the planet to be judging people. I mean, and they do. They're very judgmental in Shallow Hal.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was one thing that was kind of, I did wonder about, though, why that particular guy was the one whose body he came back in, and
And did that guy lose his life? Like, where was he? Do you know what I mean? That's what I was wondering. Like, that guy was legit.
At the end again, but.
Yeah, but he was legit. Did he lose his life? Was he in limbo? What, you know, what,
like,
happened to him?
Memory, you mean? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Where did it? What did he think he was doing for the past, you know, couple weeks or whatever? Does he have just totally a black, you know, a black spot where he doesn't know what happened or what he was doing? I don't know.
Anyway, sort of tying in with Mike's choice, I read an issue of another Marvel character that's kind of not as well known. Well, not as one of those characters that are like B tier, C tier, not in like how good they are, but just in how exposed they are. I read issue 5 of the first Moon Knight run. I found the second Moon Knight Epic Collection on Hoopla. They don't have a lot of Epic Collections on Hoopla. I think it's more of a recent thing. There's like 2 of the Moon Knight ones and a couple other ones. That's about it. But I haven't really read much of the early Moon Knight. This is issue 5, which is the first issue in volume 2, because volume 1 Epic Collection Moon Knight is all his appearances, has all his appearances prior to him having his own series, which were quite a few, and then it has the first four issues of this series. And it's kind of an interesting one and done, where there's, well, I'll say first that the creative team is Doug Munch, as the writer, Bill Sienkiewicz, penciler, and Klaus Janson as inker. So a real good creative team. And the story is called Ghost Story. And it pretty much kind of is, with an interesting twist on it. You have your haunted house, which is actually kind of a mansion. And the thing with it is the windows are all red. And it starts out with these two teenagers that are doing the typical haunted house thing, where the one who looks more of like a jock type is teasing and trying to convince the other guy who has glasses on. So, you know, he's obviously a nerd because he's only nerds wear glasses. And they say the windows are red because it's the blood from all the killing that's gone inside. But then they get freaked out because they think they see an actual ghost. And then the nerd is like, "Wow, you're telling the truth." And the jock says, "Yeah, but I didn't know I was telling the truth." And what they see actually is Moon Knight up on top of the roof. He lands on top of the roof, and obviously Moon Knight's costume is ghost-like. So that's just sort of the intro. We get into the actual reason that Moon Knight is there. And the story is sort of told it's in chronological order, but it takes place in two timelines. Like, you have the main timeline at the haunted house, and then it keeps jumping back in the past to fill in the details of what happened prior to that. And the main thing that's going on at the house is that there's these two guys, Creech and Parkins, that are there looking for a treasure. And the treasure they're looking for is supposedly buried beneath the house by this guy Redditch. And Redditch and one of these guys grew up together, and the three of them, they all know each other. And in the backstory, these three guys, so Redditch, he seems to have some issues from how he grew up in this house. And Redditch, his mom has been missing for 9 years, so they declare legally dead. And her effects are in a Manhattan bank, $500,000, and it was all found in cash. And Redditch, you know, he believes the money belongs to him, but he can't go claim it because the three of them robbed a liquor store just like last week. So they're wanted criminals, so he can't go and claim it. So he says, "Well, you know what? I'm going to go claim it my own way," and basically grabs a shotgun and leaves to go claim the money. Naturally, things don't go well. They go to the office where this money is being held. And, you know, right before they come in, the two people working there are talking about how they're nervous about having all this cash on hand. They got to, you know, get it out of the office as soon as they can. Well, Redditch and the other two show up. The one woman working there says, you know, says, "Please don't shoot me. I've got an old mother to take care of." And all Redditch hears is mother. And with his issues, he actually goes ahead and shoots the woman. further complicating things. So the three of them take off, and eventually Redditch opens up the box that they grabbed from the place with the money and takes off. So they get separated, and that's how come they end up at the Redditch's house, looking for the money and not knowing what happened to Redditch. And Moon Knight gets involved along the way with the crimes that they're committing, basically, and that's how he ends up following them to this house. And in the present day, he's following them through the house, you know, they're a little creeped out in their own way about the two guys, the two crooks, because of the whole creepy nature of the house and stuff. And, you know, a cat scares them, and they let the gun, their shotgun goes off and that kind of thing. And they find themselves as they're going along wondering, like, what kind of, you know, upbringing did Redditch have that he lived in this house? And one of the rumors was that his father was behind the disappearance of several people in town, that it kind of started with a hunting accident where he shot someone in self-defense but didn't think anyone would ever believe him, and then, you know, maybe killed some other people. And they do actually, in fact, come across this room with a bunch of skeletons. And growing up, Redditch always, he was rarely be able to come out to play because he was always having to play with his mom, he said. And the guy that knew him growing up is like, what kind of games did him and his mother play? And they finally come across this room where there's a skeleton holding a shotgun across its knees, and it's dressed in like hunting gear. And they're like, wow, we finally came across the bones of old man Redditch himself. And then he's like, wait, then they notice that there's a smell, and they think, what the heck, that one of those, or that shotgun's actually been fired recently. And then all of a sudden, boom, the other cartridge goes off, and they freak out running from the room because they think a skeleton just shot a gun at them. But then we see that there's someone in the darkness behind the skeleton. And it's got strings attached to the triggers that they pulled on. So eventually, the crooks make their way to the basement because they think that's where the stuff's buried. And the Moon Knight impersonates police officer, telling them that they're surrounded and stuff. So they, they're you know, at this point, they're like, well, they have the money, that they found the money, but they think, you know what, if we don't have the money on us, they won't be able to prove anything. So they decide to burn it in the furnace down there. But the furnace hasn't been used in years, so it's all stopped up and ends up exploding. They get out of the way, but part of the floor is busted open, and they find there's a trap door and a tunnel underneath that they take, and that leads them out to the cemetery outside, where Moon Knight finally catches up to them. And has a brief fight with the two of them, knocks them both out. But then Moon Knight finds an open grave with an open coffin in it. Redditch, the young Redditch, is in there, and he's dead, and his hair is pure white. So, you know, he had taken a shot from the police earlier, so, you know, he thought, well, he might have bled to death, but that doesn't explain his hair. And then someone from behind says, just like his dad. And there's an old woman, and she's dressed in the clothes that were formerly on the skeleton that had the shotgun. So you know, it's pretty clear she's the one that was pretending to, you know, had the strings attached to the triggers and stuff. And she doesn't really have it all together, but it's clearly Redditch's mother, you know, who's supposedly been missing. And, you know, she's saying, you know, just like his father, leaving, coming home because he needs something covered in blood. Then leaving right away, leaving me alone again. Someday he's going to go out and never come back, get hurt just like his dad. And she's obviously has some issues, and she makes some allusions that really cause you to wonder. She talks about it wasn't easy bringing it, that boy up, and it had to be both his mother and father. And the fact that she's dressed the way that she is, it's, you wonder, is she just talking about the fact that his father didn't do much, or was she actually
like, both
doing like playing the role of the father literally as well, and yeah. What exactly was going on? Like, they leave a lot of like questions, but it alludes to enough that you're kind of like, well, something really crazy was going on. And she said, I had to go out and get his father, and I'm gonna have to go out and get him too. And so we can play some more games like we used to. And but at this point, the mansion is engulfed in flames, and Moon Knight says, no, Mrs. Redditch, not this time. This time you're leaving home for good. So, yeah, it was interesting. You know, there wasn't like, I mean, I think this might be like kind of a thing with Moon Knight, but there wasn't a whole lot of superheroics, you know. It was like there was a brief just normal kind of hand-to-hand fight with the guys, but it was mostly just kind of like a one-and-done horror story in a lot of ways.
That's cool.
Mixed with crime, like half crime story, half horror story, which, yeah, I think you would have liked it, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting.
Very cool. Plus, the cover actually was something that happened in the story.
Yeah, go figure.
Don't
get that every time. That.
Yeah. All right, so my next book is Captain America 333, 358 through 362, 380 through 382, Avengers 100, U.S. Agent 1 through 4, and U.S. Agent 1 through 3. So I read the U.S. Agent, The Good Fight, which is sort of the story of John Walker. Doesn't include his Captain America appearances, other than, you know, he was Captain America. In 333, John Walker becomes Captain America. He's asked by the government to become Captain America because Steve Rogers left. Steve Rogers becomes the captain because he's disgusted with what the government has been asking him to do, and he's lost faith in the country, and he's sort of left. Well, John Walker's there to fill it. He was originally the Super Patriot, who had a bunch of buckies, if you will, that were his like sidekicks. They were enhanced by the Power Broker. The Power Broker, his name is Curtis Jackson. The Power Broker gave him like superhuman abilities and strength. And during this time, he was acting as the Patriot, and he had an agent, and he was trying to make the Patriot look good in the media, and sometimes even make setups to make him look good. But when the government asked him to be Captain America, he took the job seriously, and he went with a list of demands to the government. And he says, well, you got to give my agent a job. You have to give all my four buckies, if you will, which were his military buddies, a job. And then I'll come Captain America. Well, the next day he goes in with his, you know, they looked at his list and says, well, we don't want your agent anymore. And we don't want your buddies, except you can have one guy. He'll be like your Bucky, and you'll have Battlestar. So he takes one of his friends, and he becomes Battlestar, and he becomes Captain America. And that makes two of his buddies really upset because they're left out to dry. And they become these characters called, this one's, the names are kind of funny considering the political environment we are in, but it goes to show how we've always been in the political environment. One's called the left winger and one's called the right winger. And they capture his parents and John Walk and reveal his identity as John Walker. And he has to go rescue his parents. Well, in the foray, his parents end up getting killed. And he becomes really, really bitter. And that's when he sort of loses his mind as Captain America. And they don't have those issues where I have read them before, where he starts to lose it because of the death of his parents. And he was a guy that was real loyal to the country. He wanted to join the military because his brother died in Vietnam and he wanted to go into the military. That's the first thing he did. He signed up for the military. He never saw action, so he quit the military and then eventually became the Patriot, in which I think he was involved in the wrestling. If you're reading Mark Grenwald's Captain America back in the day, there was like a wrestling circuit as well. What's really fascinating is that I didn't remember is how Scrooge or Scourge was a big part of the origin of US Agent and also the power broker who gave him the powers. Because the miniseries kicks off with the power broker is getting invaded and Scourge is after him, and it's a 4-issue series of Scourge trying to kill the power broker, and there's another woman
What
in
mini
there.
is that, Mike?
US Agent Volume
This is the
1.
first one? Okay.
Yeah. But this
I
one
don't think I
contains
have that
Volume
one.
2 as well. Yeah, that series is
Well, I do have it. I have
Mark
it.
Grenwald and MC Wayman. He seems to have done a lot of comics. MC Wyman, just coincidentally, I've been running across his name. He came across on some Iron Fist. He did some of those Iron Fist issues. So his name has been coming up a lot lately, just by coincidence. No, design for me to go look up all his work, and he's just popping up coincidentally on characters I'm reading. But this series is really good. He eventually gets down, tracks down Scourge. You find out that Scourge, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Scourge,
Scourge. He's in the current Amazing Spider-Man, right? At least he was. But he is a villain that kills villains, but he's like hardcore. Like, if they have any history of even working. There's a scene in there where I think there's a secretary that works for the power broker. She doesn't know what he's doing. Like, she's not doing anything wrong. And he goes, "Well, you work for the power broker." Boom, 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 boom. Kills her. Like, he'll kill anybody that does anything evil. And what this series leads into is there are many scourges. They're sort of like a government operation to take out infrastructure that normal infrastructure, villain infrastructure, the cops can't do it, the FBI can't do it, but Scourge can go in there and they'll take out anybody that's causing disruption to the United States. And there's a lot of them. It turns out one of these women who's a big player in this miniseries, Miss Lyons, she's with the power broker at the time, but you don't know at the time. You're like, why is she even there? Like, why is she there? Is she trying to get powers? What's she do? Well, she is. And I don't know, for whatever reason, when Scourge attacks the building, she takes off her clothes. I don't know if it's to get away or what, but I can move better in this bikini. But she takes it off and she's like in a red, white, and blue bikini or bathing suit, because the bikinis usually have the midsection uncovered. But she's covered, but she plays a big part because she's part of the Scrooge organization, and it comes into play later on when he's trying to protect her from the Scourge, as Scourge is, thinks of her as betraying their effort, and they're trying to kill her, so they send Scourges after her, and the U.S. agent has to protect her. So it's a really interesting story. And then the final miniseries is he belongs to there's another secret organization like SHIELD. I forget what they're called. But this one's what I really liked about this is I'm a real big Jerry Ordway fan, and he scripted this and drew it, so I was real pleasantly surprised to see his art again because I love Jerry Ordway's art. And this takes place with some like C-listers, Machete, and I don't know if anybody knows Pound Cakes, who were sort of Captain America villains, and an Atlantis conspiracy with alien type things that can attach to people's neck and control them. And you find out that the power broker's involved in this one as well. He, a matter of fact, he has this huge parasite attached to his back that's controlling all these other little aliens that are put on other people's necks. And it leads to a fight with Captain America and everything. But you find out that the U.S. agent, John Walker, was smart enough to have one of his scientists put a countermeasure in place for that little parasite that gets on their necks. So he wasn't really in control, even though as a reader you're reading the comic, you think he's lost control. He was in control the whole time. He fights Captain America, and they eventually defeat, these parasites, which is really fun. But I went on this John Walker journey, and there was a lot I didn't remember. I thought he was more violent, and I think it's because this trade missed the issues where he was Captain America and losing it because of the death of his parents. A matter of fact, they brainwashed him early on in his career because he asked them to try to forget some of his parents' death, but they also wanted him to change his identity because the left winger and right winger revealed his identity as John Walker, so he became Jack Daniels. And I forgot about that, and I just thought it was funny that they would call him Jack Daniels after the whiskey. But yeah, that was pretty interesting. And then one of the people that's leading the Scourges is pretending to be his brother, like his dead brother. So that's part of this series too, which is very unusual. And he has him going there for a while, but he realizes his brother is probably that's probably not his brother. It's a real convoluted thread with the Scourges, but it's interesting. So yeah, I read this entire trade pretty much on Christmas, and then had to finish up the last issue just this morning.
Nice. You read a lot.
Yeah, I like reading a lot when I'm off.
Yeah, I don't. I often don't have the opportunity to do that when I'm off, unless I'm off and nobody else is off.
Yeah.
All right, so am I next?
Yeah.
Okay, I got one more. Let me grab it. Okay. The next one I did was Thor number 337. And this is the first Beta Ray Bill.
That's sweet because I just bought that.
You did?
Yeah, it's so weird. I attribute this to my LCS shafting me because when that first issue came out, I had it on my pull list, and I didn't realize I didn't have it until I moved here. So I'm they they probably didn't pull it for me because at the time they knew it was Beta Ray Bill's first appearance and they could sell it for $10 instead of the $2.99. And it was the only hole I had in sort of that little run of Simonson's run, right?
Yeah,
So
the first
it
issue.
was the only issue I was missing in that, and I finally decided to bite the bullet because I don't think Beta Ray Bill is going to get less popular with time.
My
So.
LCS has recently had a copy up on their wall, and if it's still there when I go this week, then I'm probably going to go ahead and pull the trigger because I've wanted that issue for a while now.
Yeah, I bought it from Aaron.
I like Beta Ray Bill.
He knew I was looking for it. I'm really close to completing my Thor Volume 1 and Volume 2. That's what I did over December, is just fill in a bunch of holes of Thor.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, I'm sleepy. Okay, so yeah, so this is his first appearance, and basically, what we've got is at this point, Thor is still Donald Blake, still the deal with his cane, turning into his into his hammer and all that, you know, regular secret identity, kind of like the rest of rest of the superheroes have. So he's walking in the park and just thinking, "What a beautiful day," stuff like that, and you know, just talking about how sometimes he has a burden because he's more than mortal, and suddenly he's grabbed by these two men. One takes his cane away from him immediately and hustle him into a car, and it goes driving off, and he's very concerned. Don's very concerned until he sees who's driving, and it's Nick Fury. And so Nick converts his car to aerial mode and goes flying up into the air. And they say that they need they're going to need his Donald Blake's Dr. Blake's help. And he's like, "Well, what would you need me for?" And he's like, "I don't need you. It's not you we need. It's your other half." So this is the first time it's revealed that Nick Fury actually knows that Donald Blake is Thor. Blake tries to deny it a couple times, but he's just saying stuff that it's very obvious he knows exactly what the deal is. And Blake's pretty surprised, but Nick Fury is like, I'm the head of a spy agency. You know, I'm supposed to know this stuff, but don't worry, I'm you know, it's gonna be my it's my secret alone." So they go up to the helicarrier. He transforms into Thor, and Sitwell, their Brainiac agent gives a whole presentation on how there's this strange ship that suddenly appeared on one of their experimental probes that is using faster than light technology. Suddenly they saw this spaceship appear, and then the next thing you know, it's like seems to have sucked up the energy of a local star as fuel, and a second after that, it seems as if the ship noticed the probe, destroyed the probe, and then as it was taking off into light speed again, and it seemed to have been going in the direction of our solar system before the probe was destroyed. So Nick is like, "You know, we need somebody that has your power. You're pretty much the only one that can actually get out there and see what's going on." So there's a couple interludes along the way that deal with Sif and Baldur, and another one with Loki and this band hunting down a troll, and Laura, and then something going on between Loki and Lorelei. But for the most part, this is centered just on what's going on with this spacecraft. So, using his hammer and his godliness, he's managed to cross huge distances of space. But and he actually locates where the spaceship is, but it's still going. it's going much faster than Thor had been going, and Thor says he's going to have to increase his speed 100 folds just to overtake it. The spaceship itself does look pretty menacing. The front of it looks like it's just shaped like a huge cannon, and there's a lot of other guns on this particular spacecraft, so it seems like this is not a peaceful vessel. It transitions to the inside of the spaceship, and you get the feeling that it's the spaceship itself that's kind of using sensors and identifying what's going on, and it sees Thor following it, and it keeps calling him a demon, and they lock onto him, and it goes ahead and fires, and it does enough that it even is hurting Thor. So he launches his hammer, destroys the guns that are right in front of him, and knows that if he's going to solve anything, he's going to have to get into the spaceship. So that's exactly what he does. Punches a hole into the spacecraft and goes inside. Shortly after he goes inside, he sees the hull walls are actually resealing and shutting it themselves back up. There's these crystal capsules inside that, and it seems like there's a very large living being inside the crystal. The spacecraft starts giving warnings that an intruder is in there since Thor has entered, and suddenly a hand crashes through the crystal and grabs Thor's face. He throws Thor against the wall, and who comes out but who clearly is, it's Beta Ray Bill. He's wearing a red space costume, and he's calling Thor a demon as well. And you know, you've pursued me, but you know, when we're through, you're going to be the one dead. So they start duking it out. And he's got, it's clear that Beta Ray Bill is posing some challenge to Thor, even with Thor's hammer. Thor is giving as good as he's getting, but it doesn't seem to be slowing Beta Ray Bill down. He keeps referring to Thor as a demon. So what exactly they think Thor is, we don't quite know. However, Thor ends up getting punched backwards by Beta Ray Bill. In the meantime, the ship is now getting damaged quite a bit from the inside from this huge fight going on, and it starts searching for a planet to land on because it can't go any further, and in order to get repairs done. And it's close enough that it sees Earth, and it realizes that that's going to be a planet that it need, that can actually it can land on and get the materials it needs to fix itself. And it actually does says that it's changing course to this. So it appears like this was not, despite what Nick Fury thought, doesn't seem like this was the original destination, but now it's actually landing there because of the circumstances of Thor and Beta Ray Bill's battle. So as they've been duking it out, Thor loses his hammer for some time, and suddenly now he changes back into Donald Blake because he'd been without his hammer for long enough. This confuses Beta Ray Bill. He's not understanding why Thor, this demon, has chosen to change shape into what seems to be a much more fragile form, but he goes ahead and he knocks Blake out. The ship then crash lands on Earth and is immediately encircled by S.H.I.E.L.D. in tanks. Beta Ray Bill notices that he's looking for Thor's hammer, and he finds the stick lying on the ground, and he sees that the hammer's vanished, and he's not sure why. But he grabs the stick and just kind of like whacks it on the side of the wall, casually, not paying any attention, and it turns back into the hammer, and now Beta Ray Bill is in full Thor costume, and now he feels even more powerful. And so he busts out of the spaceship. Nick Fury and his troops are all around, but he's just simply Beta Rebel simply throws his hammer and destroys one of the tanks in one blow, and then he's very surprised when it comes right back to him. So he shouts an oath about the demons are now in for it because he's gonna use their own weapon against them, and he's just about to basically destroy everything in front of him when suddenly Odin appears as a huge figure, and he calls to Beta Ray Bill, "Thor, my son, we have urgent need of you. I call you thee home," and he disappears. So why he didn't notice that that's not the regular Thor or whatever, we're not quite sure, but he's transported Beta Ray Bill to Asgard. Nick Fury doesn't know what's going on. He ends up seeing Donald Blake crawling out of the spaceship, goes to rescue him. And Donald Blake is calling out to the sky because there's now a storm after Odin has left, and he sees this cane is gone. He does not understand why Odin has forsaken him and has grabbed Beta Ray Bill. And the last page is him just on top of the wrecked spacecraft shouting out into the skies, "Father!" And that's the end of this issue. Now I have Mike, I ended up getting volume one and two of the Thor Simonson run when it was on sale digitally. I think it was like 99 cents or 1.99. So this is the first issue from that. So I'm not gonna get to it right away, but I'm gonna be reading this whole run. I have some issues, so I've read some of it before, but it's very hit or miss. So this will be my first time reading like the entire run.
Yeah, that's a
From
very
start to
good
finish.
run for sure.
Yeah, I mean that's all you hear about is Simonson's run. So it's about, I definitely need to finally read it. Because
That's
before I probably had like
the
four or
top of
five
many
issues.
people's Thor lists.
Yeah.
Not mine. I'm a DeFalco Friends guy, but that
And
goes back to
I can't give you opinion on this one until I've actually read more than two or three issues.
Yeah, I wish that would that is the one area that the Epic Collections don't want to touch on for some reason.
Wonder why that is.
I probably because they want you to buy those
Yeah, it's
or
probably already
buy
been
the
reproduced.
omnibus, but
Yeah.
I wish I hope I know they have plans to fill it because there's numbers around it. It's just being patient, waiting for it.
Yeah, I think with some stuff they focus on the stuff that hasn't been collected a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was on there for a while though, huh? He had a couple short breaks where somebody else would come in, but it was like for an issue or two, and then he continued on right up until Tom DeFalco, right?
Did you do you, did you said you read that because you had the trade you bought digitally or what?
Yeah, I bought it digitally, and it was like a
You don't have
99 cents or
Marvel Unlimited anymore?
No, I only had it for the 1 year. I wasn't reading enough. Now I could see in the future maybe adding it back on, but I haven't done it yet.
You know, they're only 3 months out now.
I know. In what DC 6 months, I want to say.
Yeah. I thought DC was going to 3 months, but is it
They went
six?
from 12 to 6. They
Okay.
were a year. Yeah.
Do you did you renew that one?
I did, yeah. I did renew that
Is
one.
it a different app or is it the same app?
Right now it's the same thing. I think that changes in January, and then I don't know if they're going to send us a new app link or if it's just suddenly you're going to go on and all the video content is just gone and it's reformatted. I'm not sure
Yeah,
which, but right now you can still watch the video on there.
I have to renew that.
Yeah.
I reuse that. I use that app for DC Spotlight quite a bit.
Oh yeah, and it's good because it's stuff that both you and Kyle have access to. You
Right.
don't have
But
to worry
that's
about
how I've
stuff
been
like
reading the Iron Fist stuff is even though I have the actual issues, I've been reading them the through Marvel Unlimited.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, Chris, you're up.
Take us home, Chris. Take us
All right,
home.
my last it's this should be a quicker one, but I read another Betty and Veronica. This is issue 143. The cover has Betty giving Archie a kiss, and there's like a race car set in the front, you know, like an one of those automatic race car sets. And Veronica's saying, "Betty, why are you kissing Archie for winning? He was the only car running." And she says, "Veronica, don't be so technical." So the first story is called Way Out, W-E-I-G-H. And Veronica's looking at a poster. She wants that Twiggy look, you know, that the model Twiggy. This issue is from 1967. She says, "I'd sell myself to the devil for a 6-pound weight loss." Real nice message to send to young girls. But she mentions the devil, and Archie says, "Speaking of Reggie," and Reggie shows up, and she's Veronica's screaming about being fat. So through the issue, she's like working out and doing all these different like workouts to try to lose weight. And she goes to the steam room, tries to sweat it off, and she's got a masseuse, and then Mr. Lodge is like, "What's going on? What's all the screaming?" And Archie tells him that Veronica's losing weight, and he says, "Oh no, not again." She somehow, after all that, she gains a pound. And finally Betty shows up, and Veronica says, "You fiend, you're gorgeous." And Betty's like, "What?" She says, "So skinny, so scrawny, so straight and narrow, the very height of fashion." And Betty says, "Oh, she has a cold all week, and she lost 6 pounds." And it ends with Archie says, "Look on the bright side. If you got like that, I held you in my arms, I might break you." And Betty says, "I wouldn't break Archie. Honest, I wouldn't." Anyway, funny because of how anachronistic it is, but completely awful message. And then the next story is called Phone Fair. And Betty's waiting for Archie to call. It's just like a 2-page thing. It's kind of like from the perspective of the phone. And it's like, I cause so many disappointments because she's waiting for the call and it's like a wrong number. And she gets, then Veronica calls, wants to copy her homework. So she got on a date with Archie, and she slams the phone down and the phone's dizzy. But then Archie finally calls and she's super excited, and the phone feels like it's moments like that make it all worthwhile. Comic section is a story about like Betty and Veronica have the new trend is paper dresses. And Veronica has one and she's all excited. But then Betty shows up and her paper dress is made out of comic strips. And so Archie and Reggie are, she gets their attention, and Veronica's pissed that they're paying more attention to her. So Veronica goes and takes the wet paint sign off of a nearby bench and then asks Betty to take her picture, and says, "Why don't you go sit on that bench over there?" And naturally she sits down on the wet bench in her paper dress, and her dress gets stuck to the bench and rips and gets ruined. Veronica's like, "Well, why don't you take a picture of me, Archie?" And meanwhile, Betty is trying to figure out why they didn't have a sign on the bench, and she finds it in the trash can next to it. So she's like, she doesn't, innocent Betty, she doesn't think, oh, Veronica took it off. She's just like, oh, I better put it back on there before someone else ruins their clothes. But then the sign sticks to her hand, and she shakes her hand to try to get it off, and that disturbs some pigeons, and the pigeons fly into Veronica, and she falls into the fountain that she's sitting on and gets all wet, and so her dress is ruined. And then it ends with Mr. Lodge giving her a new paper dress, and she just starts tearing it to shreds because she's a spoiled brat. Pool Rule as a story. Veronica comes in and says, she comes in and asks her dad to tell Betty that her mother called and wants her to come home. And she's like, wait, you want me to lie for you so you can get what's his name to yourself? And she screams, Archie, his name is Archie. And Archie comes running in. Did you call me Love Blossom? Did you call me Love Blossom? And Mr. Lodge says, who'd call you Love Blossom? But anyway, so trying to get rid of Betty, and Betty knows what's going on because when Veronica comes out and she said, did my mother call and tell me I'd better get home right away? So, yeah, it's not the first time that Veronica has tried to get rid of Betty. And so Archie tries to play the peacemaker, and Betty teasingly pushes him into the pool, and so Veronica tries to get Betty kicked out because she broke the rule of no horseplay at the pool. She said it's rule number 32, and she said, well, Betty says, I never knew about these rules. And Mr. Lodge says, well, those rules have been around since, oh, way back, would you believe, this morning? So she's like, all right, I'll leave. Come on, Archie, go. Let's go. And she says, well, why should Archie leave? And she says, Betty says, rule 17, he was in the pool with his clothes on. And so she's like, as long as we're both banished, let's go have a long, cool one at Pop Tate's chocolate shop. So then Veronica pushes them both into the pool so she can be banished as well. And it ends with Mr. Lodge relaxing in the pool on a lounge and reading a book. And he says, it's a funny war. They fight it, and I end up the winner. And then there's just like a little jinx strip. And then the final story is called The Changeling. What was this? I kind of forget this one. This one, Betty tries to pretend to, like, she decides to not be so nice all the time, and she decides to try on being a, like, a bully, like, in those ads about, like, how to be strong and, like, stick up for yourself. She, like, kicks sand in Veronica's face, and she's like, now you're supposed to go away for a few months and build yourself up. But Betty just, like, or Veronica just flips her over her shoulder and said, sorry, I'm not a 97-pound weakling to begin with. Betty just keeps trying to be mean, and of course, it doesn't work out. Her guilt gets to her, and she just can't handle it. But there's a... Then you have your Dear Betty and Veronica column, one girl writes in, says her boyfriend is always pointing out the pretty girls in the street, and they tell her to kick them to the curb, basically.
I'm surprised that they didn't tell her, well, maybe she needs to look at what she's wearing and how she's presenting herself.
Actually, halfway decent, yeah, advice.
Maybe if you took more time to look better, your boyfriend wouldn't have to do that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the advice in this one is not too bad. They tell like this girl that, you know, her friend is always like hitting on her boyfriends, and maybe they're not really her friend. And this one's kind of, I met a sportnik, a real dream. He spends his weekend skiing. He seems to like me. He invited me to go skiing, but I don't ski well. I don't want to lose him. What can I do? And they tell her to like take a skiing course. But I like that she calls him a sportnik because he likes sports or he's into sports. But yeah, these are, I don't know. I find these entertaining to read just because of how
So do you own
things have
this?
changed.
How are you?
No, it's on Hoopla.
Oh, okay. I was gonna be
Yeah.
impressed. I'm like, that's an old issue. You
Yeah.
have lying around. That's cool.
So
Mike, you
that's
got
it for
anything
me.
else?
No, I'm on
Michael
mute.
Betty Bye.
So did you hear me chewing a cookie?
No.
I thought I was on mute, and then I must have double pumped it, but
I
I don't know
didn't
what
hear the
happened.
cookie.
I
What
was
kind of
like,
cookie did you have?
I was eating a lemon bizcochito.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it was good. But yeah, Archie's always really good light fare to free your
Yeah.
mind. Yeah. So I think we could wrap it up now. That is a good 2.5 hours almost.
Yeah.
And
Not bad at all.
we hope you had a good Christmas and a Happy New Year. Because by the time this comes out, it'll be close to New Year's anyway.
Yeah, Merry Christmas or Happy New Year, you guys.
Yeah, I
Let's
hope you have a
hope
good New Year.
2021 is going to be our year.
Happy New Year.
Our year of
Meaning human.
Well, we'll
Mid-year
probably have
one.
our shots for sure. We'll have
Right.
our COVID shots.
Yeah, hopefully. We're gonna
Yeah.
have a new president. We're gonna have a new outlook on being able to hopefully see people again with start getting our shots. 2020 year, 2021, the year humanity came back.
Yeah, I think it'll be more like 2022 for me. I
Gosh.
mean, personally, I mean, as far as going out and
I'm
doing the
trying to be
social thing, but
positive, Mike.
we'll probably get shots in July or
Yeah, that's what I'm
June,
thinking. June or July.
sometime in the summer. And we'll
Yep.
know more about what the effects are, I guess. Well, I know the effects are sort of similar to a flu shot.
As long as you're not allergic to any of that stuff, so far it sounds okay.
Yeah, I know Savage Chuck, who I know from Facebook, and he used to be a fan of DC Noise. He had some symptoms that took him out for a day or two, because he got shot already because he works at a hospital.
That's fine to have some symptoms for a day or two. A lot better than having the
Yeah, he just
actual.
had the body aches and the
Yeah.
fever.
Yeah.
His
Exactly.
temperature went up. But they came down. He was back at work, I think, on that
Perfect.
third day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can reach at Rob Krieger at MythMaking ETC. That's Chris. And I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. And we are located at geekbrunchpodcast.com. And also on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button over there, and you can follow all the episode threads there as well. And Happy New Year.
Happy New
Yeah, I hope you
Year.
guys have a good one, and I hope you enjoy your week off. I don't, Chris, are you off too?
Yeah, I am actually.
Well, I hope you guys enjoy it and
Yes,
can at
you too.
least decompress and relax. I
I
know
felt like I needed it
I'm gonna
too.
watch a lot more movies, that's for sure. I want to queue up The Big Lebowski because I've only seen half of it.
Oh, I like the
Oh,
Big
wow.
Lebowski.
Well, it's surprising because I've seen all the other movies that those guys create, and I think it was last Christmas or maybe the Christmas before, my dad had turned it on, and I saw the last half, and me and him were just like laughing our asses off. It was such a good time, and I just never seen it, so I DVR'd it once I saw it was playing. You know what movie you'd probably like? Not Chris, but Rob. Is there's a movie called The Hunt, or it's called Hunt, and it just came out. It was at the theaters right around the time Bloodshot was, like around COVID.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
But it's about like human hunting, like people that hunt,
Is
you know,
Hilary
people.
Swank in it?
No.
Yeah, and yeah, she is.
It
And
Hilary
the
Swank? Oh, she's the best. Yeah, she's in
yes,
it.
okay, I see it
and
here.
the one Betty
Betty
Glisman
Gilpin,
from
yeah.
Glow.
Yeah. Oh my God,
It's
did you see
a
they
it's it.
canceled Glow? We're supposed to have one more season, a final
No,
season.
I
They
didn't see
canceled it.
that.
Yeah, that
Was it
due to
because of COVID
COVID.
and stuff, or
Yeah, it was
yeah.
COVID related. Yeah.
I didn't recognize Hilary Swank. Did she fix her teeth or what?
I don't
She
think
used to
so.
have a big gap between her teeth.
I don't think she ever
Okay.
had a big gap. She just has large-looking teeth when she smiles.
Huh.
Yeah, it might have been, you might have been imagining
I
it.
might have been focused on her teeth and I just could see her teeth.
Assume there was a gap.
She didn't see, she didn't, she looked different to me. She really did. But
Yeah, about then.
I knew she looked familiar. I just didn't put two and two together. You'll like it though. I like the blue. I like it because the way they pace it, and it is kind of a horror, but at the same time, it's got a lot of action, so it's pretty good.
I'll definitely check it out. I'm always looking for stuff to watch.
Yeah, it's a Blumhouse film, so.
Even better.
Yeah. All right, well, you guys have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too. All
All
right,
right,
happy
bye.
holidays. Take
Happy
care,
holidays.
guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.